Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And today we have a guest in studio. His name is Jeff Kester. He is the CEO of the Greater Springfield Board of Realtors. So welcome.
Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Nice to see you both.
Welcome back, actually.
Welcome back. Right. Yeah.
Because if anyone recognizes his face, he played Alec Baldwin in our Christmas video a year ago.
Yes.
With the sweaty balls. Yes.
Sweaty balls. So now we're going to have a more legitimate conversation, hopefully.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. So this month, we are sort of focused on commiserating, if you will, the five-year anniversary of the pandemic. And I mentioned that you are CEO now, but during that time, you were the president for Missouri Realtors, and you have had a broker's or real estate license for 30 years. So you've done all pieces of the business, so to speak, as well as being mortgages.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you've seen it all.
That's where I started.
Yeah. So for our listeners, just to give them an idea, because you don't just walk into being president, talk about how you were leading up to that year as your presidency, sort of plans you had, what you were excited about, that kind of thing. And then we'll get into what happened.
Yeah, actually. So going back to 2016, I was the local board president for GSBOR and decided at the same time that I would seek statewide leadership for Missouri Realtors. So when you do that, and I was blessed with being able to do that. Starting in January of 2017, you joined the leadership team of the state association as treasurer-elect, and then you go to treasurer, president-elect, and then ultimately president. You spent an additional year as immediate past president, which is, as you all know, immediate past president is like the best title ever.
Correct.
But, absolutely. Yeah. But you know, you spend a number of years developing your knowledge and experience of being in the leadership team. And it really is kind of a team sport, not an individual sport. And but you think about your year and you start formulating what do I want the record to be when I'm done? How will I have changed the world? What's the impact that I made? And so in 2019, we really started focusing on that. We worked on a brand new strategic plan for the association that summer and fall. My inaugural, if you will, was in September at the business conference in September. And so that's where you kind of lay out your priorities for the coming year. And from that point on into the beginning of the actual year in 2020, there was just, I think, on my part, of course, because I was president, but within the leadership team, the executive committee, many state directors, there was a lot of excitement and you know, going into the year thinking, okay, we're really going to make a difference this year. Mm-hmm. We had a January business conference in St. Charles where we had a lot of fun, but we started making those moves and getting things done. And that continued on through February, and then in early March we had a nationwide political conference in Miami Beach, and of course it's beautiful down there, and everyone's thinking positively, and then shortly thereafter the world radically changed. I still remember being in this wonderful room at the Fountain Blue in Miami Beach and watching the sun rise over the Atlantic Ocean and the beach, and hearing these news stories on CNBC about this virus thing that was going on in China and thinking, wow, that's, you know, that's a long ways away. It's, you know, that's not a thing. And coming back from that conference, saw my first person in the Charlotte airport, I think it was, wearing a mask. And I thought, wearing a mask? Why are you wearing a mask? And then, of course, 2 weeks later, we were all wearing masks.
Right. We found out why.
Yeah. And talk to them about what a normal year would have looked like. There's a lot of travel for the state president. You go and visit all the different associations. You're going to national. You would have gone to Paris.
So, well, it's Nice, actually.
Nice,
so,
yes.
And Cannes. The Missouri Realtors is one of the many sponsors of an international economic development conference called MIPIM. And that's a big thing. The association president and CEO travel to that conference, and you're promoting Missouri to an international audience. And it has been a real great thing for Missouri Realtors to be part of that and to represent the state. So, you know, I've got my passport, and my wife has her passport because she was going to go. And that was one of the things. When we were in that conference at Miami Beach, we're watching the planes take off from Miami International. And, of course, they're flying to Europe over Miami Beach. And there was he ended up being the president of Missouri Realtors 2 years after I was, John Mayfield. And we kept trying to figure out, was that Mayfield's plane or not from the balcony, because – he is already an international speaker, and he was going to London early and then joining us a week later. So I was flying from Miami back home and then getting ready to fly out to Europe. And, of course, it ended up John almost got stranded over there because there was – I mean, he was very close to there not being any way out. But but during your year, you've got the state business conferences. You're representing Missouri at national conferences, both legislatively and at the annual conference. You're traveling to – I think there's 34 local associations within Missouri. So you're traveling to all those, and you're doing a lot of – officer installations and goodwill visits. And, you know, over the years, what I have loved the most about being a part of local associations, but especially the state association, is you're going to those business conferences and you're meeting realtors from throughout the state. And while the specifics of the business change from market to market, I mean, we're all essentially in this together, and especially when it comes to advocacy, so many of the issues are the same. But you create these great, wonderful friendships and relationships with people that you don't get to see every day. But when you have those business conferences, I think what has always made Missouri Realtors special is that we're very relationship oriented, and we look forward to those times that we get together. And the fact that we didn't end up going to Europe, you know, it's now I see Missouri Realtors presidents and they're getting ready to go to Europe, and I do have maybe a couple of bad thoughts, and but you know, it what was the biggest hurt, we'll just say challenge, but it was really hurt, was not being able to see everybody through that year. And it wasn't the trips or the travel, it was who you get to see. When if I were going to St. Louis and getting to see all my friends from the St. Louis Association, or not getting to see them and having to do a lot of that virtually, that was a real change. I mean, it was almost a DNA, I don't know, right to the core kind of deal.
So take us back to that time period, because realtors were eventually deemed essential in Missouri. And that's a really big deal, not only for our paychecks and what we do for a living, but for all of the other entities that are touched by real estate and the mortgage industry and the construction and on and on and on. But what happened behind the scenes as COVID kind of dug its feet in for us to be able to be deemed essential, and what were the behind the scenes things going on?
Well, this is where I said before we started, forgive me if I have some kind of PTSD moment or
yes.
twitch, and this is one of those times when it might happen, because, you know, our strategy as Missouri Realtors is advocacy, risk management, and member engagement. So our strategy, once this started happening, I mean, we still stuck to those three main strategic plan points. What changed so much radically and almost completely is the tactics by which we were able to accomplish those things. And this was one of the big ones, because when the governor of the state of Missouri comes down and says lockdown,
mm-hmm.
And honestly, this was happening on the federal level as well.
Yes.
And everybody, the stay-at-home order, and I'm starting to twitch just mm-hmm. saying those
yeah.
words, right?
Yeah.
So only essential businesses were going to be open. And there was this huge question, is real estate essential? Mm-hmm. Is it essential to have real estate licensees out there showing houses or getting listings or dealing mm-hmm. with property management or whatever part of the business that you're in? Is that essential in a pandemic lockdown situation? Mm-hmm. And by no means was that ever assumed by anyone, apparently in government,
mm-hmm.
that it was. And I think we only have to look at states who unfortunately didn't deem real estate essential,
mm-hmm.
that real estate licensees were at home, period. And when you think about the impacts, not only, and really not necessarily buyers and sellers, but let's say you've got a large number of COVID cases in your community and you need doctors and nurses to come into your community to help people. Well, they have to live somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in those areas, communities, states where real estate was not allowed to be open as an essential business, you couldn't write a lease. You couldn't, if you had somebody in an apartment or a house that they needed to go, they weren't paying the rent, you couldn't do anything there. There was no space for those people. It would have been a mess. And mm-hmm. this started in Missouri as a very local issue. So one of the associations kind of started lobbying, one of the local associations started lobbying for real estate to be deemed essential. And how it was addressed was in the FAQs. So there was no mm-hmm. single list specifically including real estate. It was handled in the FAQs. So when they did this in Jackson County in Kansas City, I'm on the phone and sending emails like a maniac to city council, the mayor, Greene County Commission, and really through a phone call with our then CEO for Missouri Realtors, John Seabury. I mean, it was almost as if we were having these daily meetings and dividing up the state into counties and municipalities and saying, all right, I'm talking with Lebanon today and I'm talking with Cape Girardeau and I'll handle Branson if you'll handle Chillicothe. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a day by day, government by government, who's having issues with their municipality. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate enough in the immediate Springfield area, in Springfield and Greene County, that I think our city and county governments did a really good job of very quickly addressing this. And they did that by basically adopting that Kansas City, Jackson County plan and saying, okay, this will be for us too. Mm-hmm. There were other counties and municipalities that were much slower than that. And of course, mm-hmm. they had their own issues. You know, Branson, for example, isn't just a town where people live. It's where, you know, tens of thousands of people are going in and out all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the pressure on that municipal government to address those issues mm-hmm. and all of the politics involved, because just like everything in America now, it takes about 10 seconds for it to become this overheated political mm-hmm. issue, and the ideology got involved. And we're navigating through all that because right. we're just trying to keep real estate essential, but in the minds of the decision makers, that may or may not mean something completely different mm-hmm. based on their own personal biases and ideologies. Yeah, it really was. So between member engagement and advocacy, it took on this very direct, almost existential life of its own with regards to and finally, the governor's office did. I think we had a singular list come out at the state level, and real estate was on that too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for probably 6 weeks to 2 months, I always say if I had a dollar for every time the word essential, mm-hmm. I either said it or heard it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we wouldn't be here. I'd be, you know, phoning this in back from Miami Beach. I just, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
It was the most direct application of realtor advocacy that I've ever seen. And that was in addition to the fact that we had already made online remote notary.
Mm-hmm.
Or remote online notary. We had already made that a legislative priority, and there were already three different competing bills on that issue. And our state lobbyists and I met with the Secretary of State in the lobby of University Plaza during a political event in February, and kind of got a roadmap on that issue, not knowing how absolutely critical that issue was about mm-hmm. to become.
Mm-hmm.
And even in a legislative session where they'd all gather at the Capitol until somebody coughed, and then it seemed like now we're out of session.
Yeah,
And then once that was cleared up, then they'd come back to the Capitol and someone cough and it would start. Yeah. Even then we were able to get that legislation passed. And so we had not planned on our advocacy roadmap looking anything like that,
mm-hmm.
but it was probably the most direct and personal advocacy result that one could imagine.
Right. And we're going to be addressing advocacy in a couple of episodes coming up, but it really is. We can go back to the relationships that had been built well before
right.
this became an issue. And it's about having those relationships so that when you did pick up the phone and call our county commissioners and city people, they already had a relationship with Greater Springfield Board of Realtors. They had a relationship with you so that your argument may have had more weight mm-hmm. because of that.
Well, I always tell the root of politics, in my opinion, has always been, is that person the mayor, or is that person the county commissioner, or is it a situation where you go, Ken or Bob, we really need to talk about mm-hmm. this. And you're right. At that point, I would always call him Mr. Mayor in a formal, because sure. he's the mayor. But
yes.
I mean, when the crap's hitting the fan, you mm-hmm. got to be able to call Ken
mm-hmm.
and say, hey,
right.
we need each other in this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it really was a situation. I talk a lot about, you know, buyers and sellers and real estate agents being able to do business or find a house or continue their whatever they need with regards to real estate. But real estate comprises 17% of the American economy.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a real community benefit to real estate activity. And if that just stops, so does a fifth of a city mm-hmm. or a county or a mm-hmm. state.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that you can't afford not to have that kind of economic development happening. So
yeah, right.
it is truly a we need each other type situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Angie, I love that you point out the relationship business that we're in, because it's not only to survive and be able to operate during a pandemic do you need your relationships, but to sell houses every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about relationships.
Right.
It's a relationship business. So how did you, as the leader, so being Missouri Realtors president, you are the top leader and you have a whole team networking with you. But what did you learn about leadership skills in that year, Jeff? You and I have worked closely together in the past few years, and I know what type of leader you are. I've seen you lead, but that's a different environment, and it's an unwalked territory. So you couldn't call Bob, the former president, and say, hey, what'd you do during that pandemic back in the 1900s?
Right.
Yeah. You know, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts during that time? What did you, do you have any, now looking back 5 years, can you say, I learned this about myself. I learned this of how I can pivot. I learned this about the team around me.
I think the biggest lesson looking back on it is that my first thought, honestly, I don't care how good you think you are at this whole leadership thing, your first thought is holy, and then insert whatever word
exactly.
you want.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's
do I do now?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think there is this big pivotal moment when you decide, and it truly it sounds so trite and so cliche to say, if it's going to be, it's up to me. But that there is a moment where I think you decide that. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to do this. We can do this. And I honestly think that the hallmark of a real leader is it's the moment when you say, when you don't say, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And you say, we can do this. Mm-hmm. So my position as Missouri Realtors president is not necessarily, I mean, I was, I guess you could say the chief volunteer leader, but I was not at the top of the organization. I don't know if that's me. I don't know if that's the standing, I mean, the Missouri Realtors has a CEO, and at that time, I use the word blessed again, because I can't imagine going through that without John Seabury. And John, if you hear this, I love you, man.
Bless you. We love you.
You're brilliant.
Yeah.
And it really, it became a partnership, a team. I think that learning moment of, okay, we can do this. Nothing can prepare you there. I don't know that there's any past experience in your life that you can go, okay, well, I got through that really rough patch in the fourth grade, so I've learned the skill of getting, you know, I flew. The best parallel would probably be the time when I was riding my new 10-speed and I hit the brakes too hard and flew over the handlebars. That was most like 2020 of my past experience. The experience that really helped were those relationships, and the relationships specifically with all those people that were part of that team. So from the volunteer leaders like Janet Judd, I mean, I can't. Janet talked me off more ledges than she did when she was the first female police officer in Clayton, Missouri. I mean, she, John Mayfield was on that team. Brenda Oliver was immediate past president. Obviously, John Seabury, but, you know, Aaron Hervey, who's director of advocacy, and Carol Harmon, who, bless her heart, has saved my rear end more times than I can count. And all of the team at Missouri Realtors, it was an all-in thing, and that's what helped me look back at 2020, and I don't know that I'll ever have fond memories of it, but, I mean, when you survive a struggle like that, and you have that moment when the battle has ebbed and you're still standing, and you look at the people around you, and you can leave that field of battle, there is a brotherhood/sisterhood type feel that you will never forget. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really, to me, the experience and relationship part that was the big, huge, glowing silver lining to that experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't me or I. It was a wee thing that I in my heart I cherish. And the leadership lesson is, when you get into situations big or small, having that band of brothers and mm-hmm. sisters that can wade through it with you.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. We talked a little bit on last week's episode about the fear that sort of set in. And I remember that time between lockdown and the time that you got to exhale when we were told we would be essential. Do you remember that being, were people reaching out to you? Everybody was fearful, right? And it's one thing to go through a financial crisis. A lot of us went through that, and there was some fear involved in that. But now this is fear of unknown.
Oh, yeah. It's
totally different than anything we dealt with. And I remember scrolling through that. Where does it say real estate? Where does it say mm-hmm. real estate? And you said, you know, it was in the FAQs. It wasn't even in the actual mm-hmm. list. But I remember sitting in my car and thinking, where are we? Can we work?
Yeah.
And we had 21,000 roughly realtors at that time. Mm-hmm. What was that? What were those phone calls like?
Well, have you ever had 21,000 people call you at the same time? That's what that was like. Yeah. And it was amazing. Their first question was always, do you know what's going on? Like, have you heard?
Yeah.
And so telling the same story repeatedly.
Over and over.
And that's what... that's what led to the famous or infamous fake brick wall, if you remember mm-hmm. that, because mm-hmm. I said, John, I don't know how we're going to get the word out to people, because it really was fear. I mean, especially in the beginning, if you remember, like, the day that the hospital ship came through down the Hudson River to New York, mm-hmm. because there were so many people sick and dead from this.
Yeah.
And having family members in ICU and eventually pass away because of this. And I remember somebody saying, you know, the reason that you have to wear masks, and if you imagine COVID as glitter, which I hate, by the way, I hate, you know, it was a very good analogy for me, because mm-hmm. it's glitter, and, you know, if you touch something with the glitter, then you...
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
You could die.
Yes. Yeah.
And so there was a personal fear, there was a economic fear, there was, you know, all of those things together. So mm-hmm. it's in one of those weird, quirky things, about 2 weeks before I left for Miami and this whole thing started, we were doing, you know, Zoom meetings constantly. And I said, you know, I'm going to get – they didn't have the virtual backgrounds for Zoom yet. It hadn't gotten that fancy. Mm-hmm. So I ordered a fake background to put behind me when I did a Zoom meeting. But I wanted it to look somewhat natural. So I got like this fake orange brick wall, and it had the full theatrical curtain holder thing. And so it was behind me, and it somehow it just became this legendary that nobody cares about me. They want to know where the fake brick wall is. They're like, well, why you got to put that in a fundraising auction or something like that, you know? Because it became very obvious very fast that the best thing we could do, and this is how the tactic changed for the member engagement part, was just to continue to talk and put out, I don't know how many mm-hmm. short little goofy videos mm-hmm. I made about, okay, we got this done in Kansas City, now we're moving on, or this is how we're working through this issue. And then, you know, there was like this looming issue of having the, you know, the April business conference, and what do we do about the mid-year legislative conference at NAR, and During all of this, there were these huge issues coming through realtor channels with regards to diversity, inclusion, and mm-hmm. fair housing, and how are we going to deal with this in the midst of that, which was then exacerbated by the George Floyd episode in Minneapolis that summer, and there was just a lot happening mm-hmm. at once, and I thought the only thing we can do is just keep talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's what we did. My mm-hmm. wife is a school teacher, so we would get up in the morning, get our coffee, and then she would go back upstairs and teach her class. I'm yeah, still right. not sure how the woman did this, but, you know, teach sixth graders virtually mm-hmm. while I went down to the basement and work with my kids.
Yeah. Not all of us realtors.
And did Zooms and calls to elected officials. And here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that last week as well, that people want a leader that's present, right? And it probably didn't even matter. I remember hopping on Zooms all the time that you were doing, and I was also taking training and you know, all kinds of learning that I could do during that time. But there was something calming about just being able to hear your leader say something, right? And I think that trickled down. She and I were doing that with our agents and right. and that kind of thing. Because even if you don't have anything profound to say, which we didn't during that time because right. we just – none of us knew.
No.
But it was just that being able to connect with someone yeah. because you were alone and – you know, at the same time, hear something that's reassuring.
You're right. Yeah. They knew we were working on things. I might not have yes. earth-shattering things to tell. I mean, so we instituted, you know, weekly Zoom meetings with the local association presidents and association executives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what we had worked on that week would be, you know, we kept Real Estate Essential in – I'm trying to think the smallest market we probably worked directly in, and it was like, you know, Donovan or, you know, some small town. But just hearing on their part, you know, even the association executive from Hannibal or Troy, Missouri, hearing that we had worked on that with Donovan was still reassuring that right. we were doing things. We mm-hmm. were making progress. We had a plan, and the world. We were going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though it had no direct correlation to whether they were going to be okay or not, it felt more like it just simply because we were still there and doing things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Present.
Yeah.
So you were. Tell me if I have my dates right. The year you were president. Towards the end of the year, you took the role, was it that year, of
yes.
CEO at GSBOR? Do yes. I have my years right?
Yes.
So then you full-time started in 21 as the CEO of GSBOR.
That actually happened the last business day of August of 2020.
Okay.
So I kind of broke the National Association
right.
of Realtors computer system for a few minutes
yes.
because they were trying to figure out how somebody could be an AE and a state president
at the same
time.
Yes.
Yeah, so my predecessor decided to retire. Miles, I love you. But, you know, it was a situation we did in my company at the time. We were doing online training as well because I said, mm-hmm. look, we've got to do this. Mm-hmm. They had a full, lengthy regimen of training that if you complete that, then you get kind of a in-company certification. They had always done it in person. And I said to the CEO, I said, we've got to do this virtually because mm-hmm. not only does it leave the company a gap,
mm-hmm.
but this lets brains work on things mm-hmm. other than that fear. And so I'm down in a bit. I'm working on Missouri Realtor stuff. I'm doing training for realtors in my company, probably more on the Missouri Realtor side than the company side. It's been 5 years. I guess I can say that.
You got
right?
to say that.
But it just became – it was a very natural progression.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess the strangest thing was that I was actually started going to an office again, even though we were still masked up.
We were.
I was spending all my time working with realtors and working on association things anyway. So the progression to CEO and doing that concurrently with still being Missouri Realtors president, and then the next year the immediate past president role. I get a lot of people like, how did you do that? What, that had to be weird. And it really wasn't. It was all the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
It really is all the same thing. The one thing that really crushed me, and the one thing I haven't really, the part I haven't recovered from, was that I wanted that business conference in September of 2020. Mm-hmm. That was scheduled for Chesterfield. I wanted so badly for that normalcy and for Missouri Realtors to be able to get together and, you know, hug again. Mm-hmm. And my leadership team and John had the very, very bad job of telling me, Jeff, we can't do this. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really nice for a couple of days because I wanted that so badly.
Yeah.
That was the worst part of the whole 2020 experience, was not being able to get together with all of those other people from around the state that are passionate about what it is to be a realtor and all those things that we do, and to that cut pretty deep.
Yeah.
Even Janet and I, who she's one of my dearest, closest friends, I said, I'm not talking to you anymore. Because she disagreed with you. She was the one, I think, and I don't know this for sure, I feel like John probably called Janet and said, Janet, you're the one that has to tell him absolutely no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she did, because she can be kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
She did, and she took the arrows and paid the price for a little bit while I kind of had my little temper tantrum. Yeah. But, that's that of that transition to local association executive, I never thought it was that difficult a transition, because what we're passionate about as far as who we are as realtors and all of a leadership role to leadership role, it just didn't seem that hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, but it's not that hard. Well, yeah.
Do you think that COVID taught you anything that you then brought into your CEO role here at GSPOR?
Patience.
Yeah.
I'm not a I know this really
shocking.
Neither. I'm not a patient person. And it slowed everything down. And knowing that there were so many political/ideological/religious/demographic/ all of those things that COVID became, because that's a really big word. I mean, we think about COVID-19 being that little microscopic, but it became so all-encompassing that slowing down and thinking, okay, if I appear somewhere, and in fact, John Sebree and I, it was in the fall, there was an association that really wanted us to come over and talk to their folks and tell them about all that we had done and what we were doing. And so we made the decision that we were going to go over there and appear in person. And it turned out to be a great meeting. We got to see, actually hug some people, and it was great. Man, I got my butt handed to me by some people who didn't think it was responsible at all that we made that trip, and that if I was from Springfield and had contact with COVID, that I had just become this.
Infected everyone.
I just killed Cape Girardeau, man, to have to slow down and think about what's going to be the perception and implications of me driving to Cape. It really gave everything an added depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's
That's a good answer.
My very long answer to your short question.
All right. As we start to wind down, I know how member engagement and making sure that the association has great value, I know that that's really important for you. Mm-hmm. And Walt Disney is a great inspiration for you. Mm-hmm. So what about Walt Disney? Why this fascination, I guess? What is it that Walt did that you would maybe one day hope to be remembered for in the same light?
Right. So many things that he's connected with, we just think of as a normal everyday thing. So having an animated feature movie, well, we've been looking at that all our life. Mm-hmm. Did not exist without Walt Disney. Everything that we see today, from Pixar to whatever, all started with a mouse at a boat steering wheel whistling. Mm-hmm. We think of, there are theme parks everywhere. We've got one just right down the road here. Didn't exist until Walt Disney sat on a park bench at a dirty amusement park that he wanted to take his daughters to, and just asked the question, what if? Mm-hmm. And provide people with something that they wanted, that they didn't necessarily know at the time that they wanted, mm-hmm. and engage people in a completely different way, created, innovated, led, gambled, and even, there are times when I get so passionate about engaging people, and people, there's people will say, well, you're not engaging people like we used to, or this is so much different. Well, hopefully it's better, mm-hmm. and you learn from that, but and you tweak it as you go, but just because the engagement isn't the same way that our grandparents did it, doesn't mean it's not good engagement. Mm-hmm. And I think his willingness to look at something and say, what if, I don't know how you can't be inspired by that, because truly every great innovation in the history of the human race has come about by somebody going, what if? And it's still my favorite two words in the English language when you put them together, because every possibility comes from that. Mm-hmm. You all have done it. I mean, what if we did a podcast, and what if we talked about this? And it mm-hmm. it all comes back to that. And Walt Disney is somebody who was very, very good at asking that question. And to the point now that the staff at GSWR hates it when I'm in the car by myself, like I will be moments from now, because I start going down the road and, I'm enjoying the sunshine and I get to thinking about things, and I think of what if. Mm-hmm. And when I call during or after one of those trips, I know that they're cringing. And not every what if is great, because that's, sure. Sometimes you just get, you weren't drinking as you were. What caused you to? But just the idea of asking the what if, and then leading towards that vision, to me, that's really, really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you for your insight and your reflection. Hope that the PTSD doesn't make you shake and not sleep tonight.
Well, there's, it's when you start thinking about things like that, you start thinking about some of those fearful, really bad times, mm-hmm. but it can also conjure up some really good mm-hmm. memories too.
And good lessons.
I feel like I want to call John Seabury right now and just say, how are you, man?
Yeah.
miss him still.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that again last week as well, that we did learn some things. Yeah. We learned how to adapt. We learned that we could adapt. We learned that we could pivot if we'd never had to before. I mean, there's in every bad thing, there's some good, right? Yeah. So that's what we hope to share with our listeners. And we want to thank you for listening today. And we hope that you'll share this episode if there was something you think someone else should hear.
Yeah. Thank you, Gershman, for recording with us. And thank you, Jeff Kester.
Yep. Pleasure.
We'll catch you guys next time.
See ya.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.